The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, the DraftKings Network, DK Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, live from Barcanada at the D here in lovely Las Vegas, Nevada. That's for the Spanish speakers, Kelly.
Yeah, stop with that. I'm gonna screw that up like I screwed up two and game yesterday.
Goal to get everybody to see the two words together. Bar Canada, of course, for those who speak the English language. Great show today. Unscripted with the crack man, as always, Bill Krakenberger. That is a Thursday staple. He'll be in studio. Not in studio, but at the bar with us, I should point out. And before that, we always meet with this gentleman every quarter of the NFL season. Obviously, with 17 games, that becomes a little more janky than it used to be with 16. But Aaron Schatz will join us for his midseason analytics report on the National Football League. He works at FTN Sports now. He's the founder of Football Outsiders and, of course, the proprietary stat DVOA, which looks at the NFL on a granular level each and every single play. Juxtaposed against what the average performance of said play given situation would be in the National Football League. And so he has that. And we already talked about how he has the Ravens rated historically this season. We'll dive more into that with him, get his thoughts moving forward on the NFL season, maybe some awards talk with him, as well as just how he views contextually this entire season from a macro standpoint. Now, Kelly, I said we would never talk about our contest entries until we're at 60%, right? So we're both like at a half.
Something like that.
So we're like at a half game below 60%. So we're really not supposed to talk about it. I just want to let you know, this is why we don't talk about it. Just to give an idea. Yeah. This is why we don't talk about it until we're 60%. Because out of, what is it? In circa millions, we're talking out of 5,273 entries. We are 694th. We still are. In real life, we're awesome. In contest talk, we're not doing anything.
Hey, I mean, there's still
time.
What, there's still 4,500 people behind us.
That's true.
It's one way to look at it.
But That's true.
That doesn't give you any money.
No, top 100 cash.
Yeah.
By the way, we're seven games behind first place. We're not winning. We're 3.5 games behind cashing. How about that?
Okay.
We'll look at that
All right.
as a realistic
All right.
thing. Our buddy Steve Fezzik.
I can't wait to chop like 100th place and like make like $1,300.
That'd be great. By the way, that's probably the Survivor people. Survivor people are going to make so little this year, it looks like at this point. Steve Fezzik, one of his entries, tied for third place in all of this. Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner ever of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. He is tied for third, a half a game out of the lead.
Steve's amazing. We all know him. We all know his work. It's incredible where he's doing that. I know he's doing well in the Westgate contest too. The most impressive part though is he's running a, you know, gubernatorial campaign, I believe, right now.
He is.
So it's really, really impressive. He has time to mix this in.
The thing about it is he knows nothing about this F1 race. He has no opinions on it whatsoever.
It's my favorite thing. It's starting to be my favorite thing.
He will tell you, but the amazing thing about it is that I think Las Vegas Chris is on the Megapod after the show. I'm doing the Megapod with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and our guest today is Las Vegas Chris, who's won multiple contests in town as well, of course. They are super duper contest players. You know, Chris will be quick to tell you, oh, I bet well too. James Salinas was like, I'm a contest player. Stevie will tell you, Fezzik will tell you, he'd be like, I'm a better contest player than I am even a better. And he's a great better. Mm-hmm. But he's like, I'm a better contest player. And he's in third. Good for him, man. He's tied for third. Get there, baby. Let's go.
You want an F1 update?
I sent you the F1 update, didn't I? Or did you send it to me?
I sent it to you.
Oh, okay.
the ticket prices, I'm going to pull the most ridiculous one. Friday night.
Yeah.
Cheapest tickets you could find for the Friday night portion of the race on October 8th, $825. Now it is $312. So that's down 62% in a month.
That's the night before the race.
That's the night before
the
race.
Qualify.
Yes.
But they've all come down.
They've all come down.
What you're saying
Saturday
is that
Saturday night was $1,645. It's now $1,000 and a little over $1,000.
It's going to come down some more. And you know what the big fear is out here now? The big fear, because someone said, I didn't see this in a long-term weather. What is it called? Long weather report, long-term weather report, weather forecast. But somebody said there could be rain. Now, we're well out still for an accurate forecast, but could you imagine?
Oh, man.
Can you imagine Oh, man.
I don't think they stop, though, in F1.
Oh, no, right? They don't stop. But I'm just saying, imagine just adding that into the mix. Like, after all of this.
Take all this time to set up all these stands on the strip and nobody can sit in them.
I didn't buy a seat on the roof or in the weight room yet from indoors in my building. I didn't do it. I sort of refused to. I might get there. Well, but if the forecast is rain, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
Because that's whether you're outside or inside against a window, you're not watching that.
Right. Yeah. You're hosed either way.
Anyway, Steve Fezzik on a crusade to have politicians take it out of office.
I understand.
I'm with you, baby. The problem is that this town, you can't have like some intrepid reporter brave enough to like take it all down because they think they'll be in the desert somewhere within 48 hours. Just tell them like it is. Tonight, there is a football game. So now we have, in other words, the point of all that with the contest is we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, we got work to do.
Can we come up with five picks? Well, tonight is, what's the opposite of a barn burner? Oh, this is
a dud.
The 1-7 Panthers and the 2-7 Bears from Chi-Town. Bears favored by 3.5. Totals 38. By the way, that is not the lowest total on the board this weekend. That distinction belongs to the beautiful game between the Raiders. That game is at 36. The Raiders.
Shop around. 37's out there, too.
Raiders Jets game is 36.5. So anyway, this one's 38 tonight. Bears favored by 3.5. It will be Tyson Bagent. Oh, I know. America's national question has not been answered yet. When will Justin Fields come back? We don't know yet. His dislocated thumb on his throwing hand still has him as doubtful, so it will be Tyson Bagent tonight. His fourth straight start out of D2 Shepherd College. Fourth straight start for Tyson Bagent tonight in this ball game.
He started three games already?
This will be his fourth. Can you believe that? That doesn't seem right, does it?
No.
I think it is. I mean, that's how long it's been for Justin Fields. Let me check on that, but I think I'm right about that.
Let me check it.
So this comes from Sean Kerner over at Action Network. He did a great job with a few of these categories with both Bagent and Bryce Young, who, of course, will be his quarterback mate on the other side, if you will. Among 40 quarterbacks with at least 50 pass attempts this year, Bagent, this is among 40, Bagent is 37th in average net yards per attempt. He is 38th in quarterback rating. He is 36th in expected points allowed per play. Bryce Young is, in those respective categories, 38th, 35th, and 37th out of 40. So you have two quarterbacks who are, just by the numbers, completely bottom five guys.
Yep.
And then you have a
fourth start. You are right.
Fourth start. Yeah. So he's played three. This will be his fourth. And then you have, so this is an interesting handicapping thing. Dr. Bob, who we have on the show to do college football and pro football on Fridays, but who's a pioneer in modeling. He was great at this specifically in basketball in terms of not only the values of injuries, but also recognizing when team strengths or team weaknesses don't matter as much in a particular ball game versus another ball game. So tonight, based on what we just said about Bagent and Bryce Young, Panthers defense, they got a lot of injuries. Brian Burns and CJ Henderson, they're both out with concussions, concussion protocol guys, both ruled out. Safeties Xavier Woods and Von Bell are questionable. So those guys that I just mentioned would normally impact the passing game. But since you've got these guys, since you've got Bagent as the quarterback on the other side, the chances of that weakness with injuries mattering is not as much. Does that make sense?
Totally. Plus, these are just two of the worst defenses in football, period, overall. But yes, the injuries pile on top of it.
Yeah. So Carolina, by the way, against the run, ranks last. 32nd in Aaron Schatz's DVOA. 32nd against the run. So for those who are playing props, for those who are, fantasy guys, Donta Foreman, Khalil Herbert, maybe they're going to be big tonight. And then on the other side, by the way, the Bears have struggled against the pass as well. They're 30th in DVOA versus the pass. But again, same thing with them. If Bryce isn't that good against that, that weakness is mitigated to some degree. And here's the other part of this now, talking about a total. So if you're thinking, do I want to lay the 3.5? Do I want to take the 3.5? The total at 38, based on everything we've just said, becomes a pretty juicy thing. And add this to the under lean of all this little dissertation here, which is, both teams are tied for dead last in red zone touchdown percentage allowed at 75% each. So when you get in the red zone against these defenses, three out of four times, you're scoring a touchdown. That is one of those things that ought to regress.
Yeah.
Whether it does tonight or not, who knows? But if you throw that in the mix of everything we've just said, maybe this is an underfest today.
It's the only way I can play it.
Yeah.
Tonight, I don't have anything. I think even prop-wise is dicey. You get Khalil Herbert back in that backfield mix now for Chicago, and it's kind of, okay, well, who's going to get the carries? I think that's a little bit unclear. I know there's the same kind of questions going on in the Carolina backfield as well, with Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard over there, figuring out who's going to be the lead guy, because they've kind of been switching around that a lot. Prop-wise, I think this is difficult tonight. Side-wise, I think it's impossible.
Virtually.
So, yeah,
so this will not be one of our contest
picks. This will not be a contest play for you. And just game-wise, it would be lean under for me. No play, though.
My thing is I may end up playing some in-game unders here, because maybe it's a first half thing as well. Because if a team takes a lead, then maybe it becomes a little more janky in the second half, because obviously there's catch-up mode and the tendencies will go to a passing game. But if it's tight, it could just be, because even when we were doing guessing lines on Monday, talking about the Panthers' loss this past weekend, remember when they got that touchdown to like get within 10 this past weekend? I even remember commenting during guessing lines, and the drive took forever, right? Like, they just cannot get downfield quickly. So this feels undery to me, if anything, in tonight's ballgame.
First overall pick, grabbed a quarterback, and you're catching 3.5 points against Tyson Bagent.
So why we did so poorly in the NFL draft, could not believe they were going to draft Bryce Young, and they did. Nope, couldn't draft Stroud, could they? Nope. We'll come back. Aaron Schatz from FTN Sports. Midseason report next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Sign up today, get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That's it, $120. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, Kelly, can we send a shout out to a young lady who has worked with us for quite some time here?
Yes.
At the station. It is her last day today. And we want to say a big thank you for all that she's done to Liz Foster, who is leaving for a good reason, by the way. What would you say is like the greatest reason to move jobs? What's the greatest justification for such a thing?
Oh, man.
Okay, maybe
I feel
don't
like
answer
no
that.
Comment on that, but yeah.
but she was a technical director and a graphics operator here. She is engaged to one of our former VSiN folks, Matt Santos.
That's right.
And we love Maddie.
Love in the workplace. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. VSiN, where love blossoms.
That's right.
Anyway, shout out to Liz. Thank you, Liz, for everything you've done. And safe travels back to the D.C. area, by the way.
Yeah, back to the East Coast for her. She's been an integral part of this show and a lot of the morning shows that you've seen here on VSiN for the past couple of years. So, Liz, thank you so much for everything.
Integral or integral? You go integral?
Yeah, I'm going integral today.
Either way, yeah. We love Liz. We love this gentleman as well. Always a pleasure to hang out with him quarterlies. And when he comes on the Megapod as well, he's always very generous with his time. He is the founder of what you knew as Football Outsiders. He is the creator of the proprietary stat DVOA, as we mentioned, looks at football on a play-by-play granular level. And now plies his trade at FTN Sports. It's the great Aaron Schatz, everybody. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. It's been a good season.
It has been a good season. Good season. When you say that, you mean just from a quality of play standpoint? What do you mean?
It's been an interesting season. I think it's been a good season for me. I'm happy in my new home. So life is good, man.
Happy in your new home is the best part of that. All right. Before we get to, because the one thing we have alluded to you on this week, by the way, I don't know if you know this, is about your historical perspective on the Baltimore Ravens. Before we get to that, how would you, if you had a macro comment about this season thus far, which is, again, halfway-ish now that there's 17 games, what is it? What's the topic sentence of this season so far?
Offense is down.
Offense is down. That's simple.
Yeah, that's the topic sentence. I don't have a number for you, but obviously I think teams red zone numbers are down as far as converting into touchdowns. Scoring is down a little bit. Rushing is down in particular. There was this feeling over the last couple years that, you know, rushing numbers were up. Maybe teams had sort of solved rushing a little bit. Now it's down again this year. So, yeah, that's the main story of the year. All unders are winning like constantly.
Do we have a reason? Do we have a theory as to why that is?
The theory is that it is somewhat related to, one, the changeover in quarterbacks. You know, no Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady retiring, the young guys except for C.J. Stroud not developing yet. The other is that it could have to do with the Vic Fangio style of defense, slowing teams down, right? Giving them shorter stuff, but fewer explosive plays. But that doesn't explain the problems in the red zone.
No, doesn't. Bend don't break doesn't explain necessarily why the don't break part doesn't happen or has happened. So, okay, let's talk about the Ravens. Saw earlier this week, you obviously do your overall DVO ratings, and you always are good at putting it in historical perspective. You go all the way back to 1981 now? 1981?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So I mentioned, as far as, you know, best teams through 9 weeks, you have your two best teams, period, of all time, the 2007 Patriots, the 1991 Skins. And through 9 games, you've got these Baltimore Ravens. You also, when you tweeted about it, though, had a little personal caveat to it. Would you like to explain that?
Yeah, it's kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? Like, you look at the list of the best teams of all time, and they just do not feel like they belong there. And I don't think they're this good. But they're the best team in the league. Like, you know, even if you took 10 or 15% off of their rating, they're still the best team in the league. And we're all like waiting for them to, quote unquote, beat a good team without noticing that they've clobbered 3 good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit is 6-2. Cleveland and Seattle are each 5-3. And Baltimore has clobbered those teams.
So, but when your tweet, didn't you, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to mischaracterize it, but didn't you even say, like, okay, well, you're right. Even like you said here, they don't appear to be that team. But you, what is it that you worry about with them? What is in that comment?
I think that, first of all, you know, offense being more predictive than defense, pass offense being more predictive than run offense. The biggest weakness of this team is pass offense, where they rank 11th. Right. But the pass offense has been better in recent weeks. There have been fewer drops. They've been healthier. Right. Earlier in the season, they had some receiving injuries. They had some offensive line injuries. Things are better now. There's also the worry that Lamar Jackson will just get hurt. Right. Like, that's what happened the last couple of years. Lamar Jackson got hurt. What I don't worry about is that they, quote unquote, can't do it in the playoffs just because in 2019 they lost. Like, history is filled with teams and quarterbacks that, quote unquote, couldn't do it in the playoffs until the year they did.
Until they do. That's exactly right.
Right. Like Steve Young in 94 or Peyton Manning in 06. Like, you know, eventually talent wins out. Right. So I'm not worried about 2019. I'm more worried about injury, and I'm more worried about the last 2 years and the injury to Jackson possibility than I am about Jackson gets to the playoffs and suddenly he gets figured out.
9-1 to win the Super Bowl on the Ravens, to win the conference, cut that in half, plus 450. Do you like those bets?
Yeah. I mean, I went and ran our simulation, only I changed the Ravens so that instead of being way ahead of the rest of the league, they were tied with the Chiefs at number one, which in the ratings that I use for the simulation, which still incorporates some preseason projections, mean they're actually lower, right? So that makes them like the third team, okay? Even if you run the simulation that way, they're like the number four possibility to win the Super Bowl. And like they have better odds than what Vegas is giving them.
Let me ask.
Even if I'm like really wrong about them,
yeah,
they're still a good.
Wow, this is fascinating with them. So last thing about the Ravens, let's compare them to the Ravens juggernaut that was the 2000 Ravens, which won the Super Bowl on really the strength of a phenomenal, epic defense. Is this a better team than that overall? I guess they are based on your numbers.
Oh, God, yes. Absolutely, it's a better team. The 2000 Ravens were their defense got super hot in the playoffs, right? So that regular season wise, they're not actually one of the best defenses of all time. They're the best run defense of all time, but their pass defense was like second or third that year. I mean, you know, very good, but not like historic. The offense is so much better. This team's offense is so much better than that team. This is the best Ravens team. This in 2019 are the best Ravens teams. And that's the thing, is that the best teams don't always win the Super Bowl.
They don't. Single elimination format will do that to you a lot. Okay, so your top DVOA teams are, we'll put them on the screen here. And as it shows, the Ravens are just way ahead of the number two Chiefs. 49.0% total DVOA on the Ravens, all the way down to 29.6% for the Chiefs. Which of the teams here, Aaron, it goes Ravens, Chiefs, for those not watching, Ravens, Chiefs, Niners, Lions, Bills are your top five. Jags, Dolphins, Browns, Cowboys, Eagles, 6 to 10. Which is the other team besides the Ravens with it you look at with your eye test and you're like, okay, we're vastly different from the consensus on this particular team, and here's why?
Well, the Eagles, obviously, because most people who do power rankings just depend on wins and losses, and they have the best win-loss record. And I feel like the Eagles are better than this. If you said to me subjectively, I think the Eagles are better than the Cowboys, I think they're better than the Browns, probably the Dolphins and the Jaguars. But they're not as good as they were last year. The pass defense in particular is not as good as it was last year. The pass rush hasn't been as good, and they really have a hole at third cornerback because of the injury to Avante Maddox. And the secondary is a weak link system. You can always attack the weak link. So what you want is to be strong everywhere, not to have a weak link. It's weird, I know. People have complained. ESPN's FPI has the Eagles seventh, so we're not the only advanced stat that has them lower. I mean, obviously, their chances to win the Super Bowl are super high because they're 8-1, and you can't take that away from them. You can't change the past. But as far as going into the future, play-by-play suggests they're not as good a team as San Francisco or Detroit.
Wow, Eagles 10th on this. And then beyond the top 10, what's the team we'd be the most surprised about that you have high up?
You know, for the most part, the winning teams are on top, the losing teams are on bottom, and the 4-4 teams are in the middle. I guess maybe Houston being 13th.
Well, that's about right, I think.
Because they're third passing. Stroud is having an amazing season, especially if you consider they're 31st rushing the ball. He is getting no help from the running game. Don't you always say rookie quarterbacks need help from the running game? He's not getting any.
It's almost like he should have been the first pick in the draft, Eric. Almost like that. We'll come back. Aaron's thoughts on other awards like MVP, like Coach of the Year, what he likes best this week. More into the world of DVOA, contextualizing the NFL season thus far. Aaron Schatz right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we got to take a break and talk about Zyn nicotine pouches. We're always debating what a team needs to do to get to number one, but Zyn nicotine pouches are already there. It's helped millions of people achieve lasting change, earning the title of America's number one nicotine pouch. Find your Zyn at your local convenience store or online at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to read this one while Aaron is here, and we'll get to the rest later. But this one, Aaron, is from Jeff Levine. No, that's the one. Jeff Levine is always pumping up the Ravens. He says, it's merely a rumor that Aaron Schatz has consulted with me on the Ravens status. But he said, can you ask him what factors drive their scores? And you don't necessarily have to ask it that way. But what we were talking about off air, Aaron, about you're not really 100% certain why you have them rated so much higher than other analytics outfits?
Yeah, because I've looked at like EPA based metrics, and I know that like point differential, they're number one, and the simple rating system at PFR, they're number one. But like when you look at EPA metrics, offense, defense, passing, rushing, like our ranking is about the same as EPA. And yet at the same time, when you put it all together, I think we maybe have Cleveland and Baltimore's defenses more past the rest of the league than other metrics do. Other metrics have Cleveland and Baltimore closer to the rest of the league. But I mean, their running game is the best in the game. Their defense is second with a big gap between second and third. So that's what's driving it for the Ravens.
Is there a team on the flip side, when we go to the bottom portion of the league, is there a historical unit or team, like are the Cardinals or the Panthers reaching those levels?
No, the Giants are our worst team, but in general, the historical worst teams are worse than the best teams are great. So the Giants aren't like historically bad. They're just pretty bad for this year. And the Denver defense has been much better over the last 3 weeks. Yeah. So the Denver defense is no longer historically bad.
Still time for the Giants, Aaron. Still time to become epic.
Well, Tommy DeVito. Yes. I mean, Tommy DeVito sounds like the guy they pulled out of the stands and like the replacements, like Shane Falco.
Yeah, they kind of did, I guess. Okay. Let me ask you about week 10, your single best bet for week 10 on a very tough week. I'm about to do the Megapod. I got to come up with three plays. I've got about three, and that's where it ends. I don't know how I'm going to come up with five. What's your best bet this week?
My projected lines came out so close to the Vegas lines this week. It's just not a good week. My favorite bet of the week, and this involves a little bit of, you know, questioning, because you don't know exactly how good the Vikings offense is with the backup quarterback now. But I like Saints -2.5 as the best bet of the week.
Oh, no.
And what I actually played was a teaser where I did Saints +3.5 combined with over 35.
Minnesota Vikings were my favorite play on guessing lines on Monday. That was my instinct on that. Wow. Okay. So we're oppo on that one. Saints for Aaron.
Yeah.
Shots.
We're opposite on that one because but you know, it's a little weird because you're like, oh, look at what Dobbs did in his first game. But that doesn't mean Dobbs, you know, the better guide to what Dobbs will do the rest of the season is Dobbs's history, not that one game.
Sure.
And the Saints have a good defense.
He's probably got to be a particularly tough guy to evaluate though. Right. Cause like his stints are so staccato over the years. Right.
The story, like, forget stats, just the story of last week's game is, you know,
incredible.
They're going to need to do a documentary on just Josh Dobbs's 2023 season because it's so nuts.
It's amazing. All right, let's talk awards. You are an MVP voter. You are one of 50. So it is always fascinating to talk to you about this subject. Now, the format of the vote has changed. It is not just one guy for MVP. It's a top five. Right now, we're not holding you to this. Let us make that clear. We are not holding Aaron Schatz to this after week 9 of the NFL. But if the vote were right now, your vote would go to?
It is so hard. And this is going to sound crazy when you look at win-loss records. The most valuable player in the league this year has been Josh Allen.
You and Eager. Our buddy Eric Eager, Dr. Eager, had it last week too. Same thing. What's with you people and your analytics? Really? That's your guy?
It's crazy because, I mean, the Bills' defense has been the worst in the league over the last month. And there's also that element of they've never really quite built the secondary receivers there, so he doesn't have as much to work with besides Stephon Diggs. But what he's doing on his own, he's not only number one in our stats, he's number one in ESPN's QBR, and he's number one in Pro Football Focus's grading system. So, like, these are three very different ways to measure quarterback. And Josh Allen is number one in each of those ways.
Aaron, he's 20 to 1.
Right now, he's the best. He's the best. Now, I don't know what's going to happen over the second half of the year with him and with the Bills defense. And I mean, at a certain point, if the Bills are just 9-8, it's really hard to vote for him. But right now, he's been the best player in the league this year.
He's 20-1 in the betting market, Aaron. 20-1. Like there's you know, six guys in front of him. I guess the other way of asking that is how bad would the Bills be without him, right? If they had a replacement level quarterback, what would this team be like? With all these injuries.
Well, I mean, given the way the defense has fallen apart, bad. Yeah. Really bad.
Real bad. Where would Tyreek Hill, just for giggles, where would Tyreek Hill end up in your top five? Don't tell me he's not in your top five, man.
Fourth or fifth, probably. Oh, okay. You know, it's so hard to vote for non-quarterback, but it does feel like Hill and McCaffrey deserve space and possibly AJ Brown too. This is not an easy year. There really is no front runner or two front runners. There's a lot of interesting guys.
All right. Last question about MVP. Who would be second to Josh Allen for you?
I think Mahomes, but maybe Lamar Jackson.
Okay. They are the co-short shots along with Jalen Hurts. Here's an even tougher one. Coach of the year, which is super duper subjective, right? Because you don't have stats besides a win-loss record to go by here. Who would be your? Now, I assume you don't vote for this one. Maybe I shouldn't assume that.
No, I do. I vote for all the ones. I vote for everything except executive of the year. Executive of the year is not an AP vote, but I vote for all the awards.
Wow. Okay, so this is all through the Associated Press. Gotcha. So how many people vote for coach of the year?
It's same people. It's same, the same people. 50 people.
Same 50 people. Is it 1 through 5?
We vote for all the awards and we vote for the all pro team.
Okay. Is it 1 through 5 on Coach of the Year too?
I think it's 1 through 3.
1 through 3.
I think MVP is the only one where we do 5.
Okay. 1 through 3. Who would be your Coach of the Year? We're not holding you to it. Who would be your Coach of the Year right at this moment?
I would probably lean towards Mike McDaniel. But I also like Dan Campbell and Kyle Shanahan. It's interesting because with McDaniel and Shanahan, it's what they do as offensive schemers. And with Campbell, it's much more about his aggressiveness on fourth downs and his management of the locker room.
This is fascinating. So you represent 2% of the vote. Do you have any sense of what the other 98% are thinking, if they're in line with you generally not in line, or is there no way of knowing that?
No, there's no way of knowing. I will say there are more people on the panel now who understand analytics. So there's going to be more of an analytic view towards the voting than there used to be. There's Sam Monson from PFF. There's Doug Farrar. There's Mina Kimes. So things like fourth downs are going to play a bigger role in who gets Coach of the Year than they used to 5 years ago. But most of the people on the panel are not people that I know personally. I don't know. And it's okay. Not like I've gotten on the phone with Doug and we've talked
right.
about our picks.
There's not a caucus happening. Okay. So Mike McDaniel, Dan Campbell, Kyle Shanahan. All right. So offensive player of the year, you do that one as well. That's become a depository, as we say, for non-quarterbacks, the best non-quarterback. I'm going to guess this is the Tyreek Award at this point for you.
There's three candidates: Tyreek, Christian McCaffrey, and AJ Brown. Those are the three guys.
Throw them up in the air at this point.
Throw
them up in the air. How about
AJ Brown has caught up with Tyreek over the last couple of weeks.
He has. How about defensive player of the year?
God, we always seem to give it to pass rushers, but I mean, it would be hard not to give it to Myles Garrett, considering the way how good he is every year. And then this year, the Cleveland defense is the best in the league, Myles Garrett. But I mean, any of those top three guys are really good candidates. Micah Parsons, TJ Watt, like absolutely really good candidates.
Offensive rookie of the year, I would imagine, would be as close to a consensus CJ Stroud as anything right now.
Yeah, there was some debate about Puka Nacua, but over the last couple of weeks, I think Stroud has really pulled ahead.
Are you and for defensive player of the year, who are you, a Witherspoon guy or someone else?
I have no idea right now.
No idea.
Player of the year, but I will say Brian Knowles just wrote a whole thing about midseason, who's leading for awards. If you go to ftnfantasy.com/DVOA, and he thought Jalen Carter.
The best. Yeah.
Defensive rookie of the year.
It's pretty much a Witherspoon versus Carter thing at this point.
Witherspoon, Carter, and there was one more, but I don't remember.
Linebacker for the Rams.
It might be the pass rusher for the Rams.
Yeah.
Byron Young.
That's right. Okay. Aaron, tell everybody. By the way, I hope the awards talk doesn't make you too uncomfortable at this time of year. We're not holding.
No. Yeah. I'm fine.
All right. Where should people go to get all your FTN stuff and what can they get there?
FTNFantasy.com/DVOA. The content is mostly free. To get all of the DVOA splits and historical numbers, you need either a Stats Plus subscription or a Fantasy Plus subscription, which gets you a lot of other really good fantasy data and charting data and a lot of stuff that helps you set up fantasy.
And if you forget any of that, you can go to Aaron's Twitter at A-Shots. That's A-S-C-H-A-T-Z-N-F-L, A-Shots NFL. He, of course, the chief analytics officer at the FTN Network and a pioneer. Thank you so much, Aaron. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Crackman next.